The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Sean Quinn, James Millman and Richie McGrath in the studio. We have racing from Haydock, York, Newmarket and Chester in the afternoon. There's evening action from Newbury and Jumps Racing in the evening as well from Stratford. So plenty to look ahead to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Right, plenty to talk about on this edition of the podcast. What we'll do is we'll start with a little bit of a reflection on Thursday evening's results at Sandown because they had a pretty decent bearing on some of the anti-post betting we've got. We'll talk about some of the news and we'll have a quick look ahead to the Oaks and the Derby before moving on to Saturday's racing. So going to be a bit of a busy podcast, starting with Sandown. And Brown Panther, very impressive in the Henry II Stakes. And that's put him right in contention at the top of the betting for the Ascot Gold Cup. It looks like this at the moment. Leading Light is 7-4. Brown Panther and Tac de Boitron both 6-1. 7-1 for Estimate. 8-1 for Altano. Eye of the Storm 10s and 14-1 or bigger prices. The rest. How impressed were you with Brown Panther?
I was impressed, and I know last week's podcast we touched on sort of flat horses that kind of. Yeah, it's quite rare to take a flat horse too hard, but I think, as we said about Sir Zagel last week, you can make the same case for Brown Panther. So I was very impressed with him yesterday. The problem is that for the Gold Cup, I just can't see past Leading Light. Probably the manner of his win at Ascot last year, and obviously his subsequent win in the Ledger, Just ever since I sort of saw him win at Ascot last year, I just thought, well, there's a Gold Cup horse and successful reappearance at Navan. Understand that he's pretty much going to be put away until sort of, what, 2 weeks away, isn't it? 2 weeks? Or was it? No, 3 weeks. That's the problem. I just fancy Leading Light so much that, as impressive as Brown Panther is, and as much as respect I have for Brown Panther, the fact I've already backed Leading Light for the Gold Cup, I'm just having sort of problems seeing past him. He sort of scooted home yesterday. I think there probably seemed to be an awful lot sort of struggling really in the closing stages, and I was actually quite surprised to see our old jumping friend Menorah struggled as much as he did. I thought that even though he had a little bit to find and to run to that mark on his first run on the flat, I thought he would go through the ground. I was surprised to see him sort of, I know he dwelt in the stalls and everything, but it looked a bit of a struggle, didn't it, as they came up the hill.
It's a shame really, because the idea was to send him onto the flat for better ground. And they ended up with much worse.
And they get winter ground there, you can't fail to be impressed. It was a pretty commanding victory from Brown Panther. What was he, sort of 3.5-4 lengths in front of High Jinx? I was impressed, but when it comes to talking terms of the Gold Cup, I've just got my eye on one horse.
Fair enough. Sticking with Leading Light then, Brown Panther, very impressive. If this awful weather continues, I would be very interested in Tac de Boitron at 6-1 each way, because on the soft ground of a staying trips, he's a force to be reckoned with, isn't he? So
yes. It's
warming up to be a nice race, and then you got last year's winner Estimate in there as well. It's warming up to be a good race, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Royal Ascot, actually. So it looks to be absolutely true. I mean, it always is, but I've got several sort of real fancies for this Royal Ascot, so
yeah, it's looking good, isn't it? Mm. We'll also see Charistan go to Royal Ascot. He's going to contest the Hardwick Stakes after winning the Brigadier Gerard, just narrowly getting home. Another big success for Kieran Fallon as well. What did you make of that performance?
Yes, I was watching it on, you know, the RUK, you know, Anywhere platform, and there's been like a problem with the iPad version. Apparently, it's sort of it's a problem with Apple, not a problem with them. So literally, they just come up to the line. I actually thought Sheikh Hazy Road had won, and then my iPad feed actually dropped out. So I was like, oh great. So I had to sort of rely on Twitter to tell me the result. I thought he was beaten. Obviously, he wasn't. Yeah, I mean, it just. Top Knot Tomsto, obviously, his stamina gave way. But, what's he going for, Sheriff Stanley Hardwick?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they seem to be. I'm actually, when we look at Haydock, I'm actually going to be tipping up a Godolphin side, Binsor trained horse with Fallon on board. And it just seems to be this kind of renaissance for both of them, really, doesn't it? Mm. I think we're a fair way off, really, looking in depth at something like the Hardwick, but I was pretty impressed with his battling qualities there, and to go through that ground as well, then, yeah, you could, again, couldn't fail to be impressed.
Yeah, Richard Hannan Sr. had quite a good record in the National Stakes, and Richard Hannan Jr. has picked up where his father left off. Tiggy Wiggy quickening impressively to win by 3 1/4 lengths ahead of Brocklesby winner Cock of the North. And I understand now that Tiggy Wiggy is going to go for the Queen Mary Stakes on the back of that.
Yeah, it was easy, wasn't it? Just like literally just kind of got there and then just went clear. I actually quite fancied Rudy in that race. Was glad I didn't have a bet. Yeah, it's I wouldn't be putting anyone off sort of backing her. I mean, looking through her entries, she's in the super sprint at Newbury, she's in at York at the Ebor meeting. You know, she's targeting sort of all the big 2-year-old races, and we haven't got any entries through for the Queen Mary yet, but you can't fail to be impressed with that, really. And especially, again, I know I keep saying it, but I mean, that really did look like ground you'd more likely to see on Imperial Cup Day rather than sort of a night in late May. I know that she'd won on soft before previously at Salisbury at the beginning of May. She looks a sort of pretty sort of tough. You know, for a 2-year-old filly, she's pretty tough and robust. That was kind of what her third run within the month, and you know, two wins and a place. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she might need tough ground though. I mean, just judging by Richard Hughes' comments after the race, he said he's not ridden a horse who came up the hill that quick, especially on that ground. He said she loved the ground, and that was also the first time she's really settled in a race. He goes on to say she could be a Queen Mary winner on what she did tonight.
Yeah.
If the soft ground, I suppose she'd be well out there, wouldn't she?
I mean, it was when she was second at York, it was ground was officially described as good. It was definitely a performance where you were sort of scribbling her name down, and definitely, I mean, it would be a massive surprise if she doesn't win one of the big 2-year-old races this season, really.
Yeah, and we must mention before we move on, Master Carpenter, a treble on the day for Rod Millman, a very impressive winner of the Heron Stakes, and James Millman's a regular contributor here on William Hill Radio, so it's nice to see them have a big day like that.
It's absolutely brilliant, yeah, and it's sort of a victory for the nice people, and well, what can you say about that ride from Ryan Moore? Really, it's
just brilliant, wasn't it?
It's just incredible. not a lot more than you can say about it. Just wow. I mean, it's just he's the AP McCoy of the flat world, isn't he? Really, he just does things that sometimes you just leave people sort of open mouth. And I was sort of trying to watch on a feed that kept dropping out on the iPad, but I don't really have sort of words really to describe that ride, other than sensational.
Yeah, very good ride. That's Sandown then. That's give us a few more clues towards what's shaping up to be a brilliant Royal Ascot. But before we get to Royal Ascot, we have a couple of classics coming up next weekend, the Oaks and the Derby. So we'll have a quick look ahead to those. The Oaks picture changing all the time. Tigruda is the 9-4 favourite. She's just edging out a little bit. Marvellous trimmed into 4-1 on the back of an impressive Irish 1000 Guinea success. Tafasha 6-1. Doubts about whether she'll run on the ground. 7-1 for Itimal, who Godolphin are talking up today. Shamkala 8-1. 12 for Madame Chiang. Marsh Daisy apparently needs to be supplemented. We think she has been supplemented, but nobody's quite sure. 14-1. Volume 16's On a Bound has been supplemented for last year's winning trainer Rafe Beckett. 20-1. It's shaping up to be quite a good race, isn't it?
It's looking. I listened to the commentary last night from Sandown, and as you said, that on paper it's shaping up to be more exciting than the Derby, and it actually is when you look at it. I see an anti-post bet at the beginning of the season on Bracelet at shorter odds than she is now. The discrepancy between you've got Marvellous in there at what's Marvellous with you guys, Marsh? She's like 4-1.
4-1, yes.
Yeah. So you've got Marvellous in at 4-1, and you've now got Bracelet sort of ranging around the 16-20-1 mark.
25s.
Really? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, Bracelet absolutely slammed her over an inadequate trip at Leopardstown. And I can't really work out the huge discrepancy in price. I know, obviously, Bracelet didn't show at all in the 1,000 guineas, but I think you can forgive one run, and also the fact that it was about 2 weeks afterwards it came out that Aidan and like a few of Aidan's had been coughing. I think the fact that all that was going on in the yard at the time, you can forgive that run. I mean, she's obviously not going to go into Epsom now being the first string, but I still think that that's I still think she's a player, and I think that's a very big price. Touching on Mars Daisy, has she been supplemented or not? I mean, I did see a few tweets a couple of days ago that she had been supplemented, and I was really quite pleased about that, because I know that Huey Morrison said that he didn't feel as though Epsom would be her track, but if they kind of handle, I know it's the other way round, but to me, if they're going to handle Goodwood, then there's a pretty good chance that they'll handle a course like Epsom. And I think the fact that we probably are going to be looking at an Oaks with a little bit of cut in the ground, I think she's a massive player. You know, whether the mystery has been solved, whether she's been supplemented or not, I think she has. She's from, you know, a beautiful Meon Valley family. There's an awful lot of stamina on a damp side. Soft ground comes up. She really is a player. So the two for me at this stage are still Bracelet and Marsh Daisy.
Okay, Bracelet and Marsh Daisy. A couple against the field then in the Oaks. The Derby is a bit more of a complicated picture, because Australia 4-6 favourite, long been odds on favourite since third in the 2000 Guineas. Aidan O'Brien's voicing concerns surrounding the going, saying Australia won't run if it gets too testing. Geoffrey Chaucer, another Aidan O'Brien inmate, has been well backed for a week or so now, and he's 7-1 second favourite and apparently working well at home, which is interesting. Kingston Hill 11-1, 12s for Fascinating Rock, 14s for True Story, Eben Oren 16s with Western Hymn, 20-1 for Orchestra, and 25-1 or bigger price as the rest. How do you see the Derby going? I mean, we'll get more detail off you next week, but how do you see it at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I've been really keen on Australia sort of, you know, before the Guineas and even more so after the Guineas. I think I've touched on a couple of times on these pods that the fact that, given his breeding, the fact that he is so straightforward, and I know I've mentioned it, you know, a load of times before, that the fact that he was the only one of Ouija Board's progeny to race at 2 years old. And, you know, I think I said last week the fact that Night Thunder was coming at him so sort of, you know, swervingly in the Guineas, and the fact that he still kept that dead straight line. The fact that they are voicing concerns about soft ground does strike a little bit of fear into me. And then, of course, you have these rumours coming out of Ballydoyle that Geoffrey Chaucer is apparently working all over him. So I think you are going to see a drift on Australia. I mean, if it stays dry this week, you probably are what you're going to be looking at, sort of good to soft ground, which, you know, you'd go through that, you'd think. No problem at all. I guess if you're going to be looking at ground that is going to be quite saturated, you'd have to really look at Kingston Hill, wouldn't you? I mean, there's just, I think he's actually related to the hurdler, Lord Jim. So, I mean, there's stamina aplenty. We saw him win at, you know, he won his maiden at Newbury in soft ground. And when he beat Johann Strauss at Doncaster in the Racing Post Trophy, that was soft ground. So if we are really, you know, looking at pretty wet ground come next weekend, then he'll certainly be coming into my reckoning. I think the Derby at the moment is quite hard to fathom until the ground is sort of playing havoc everywhere, isn't it, at the moment? So I still am keen on Australia, but obviously with a big question mark about the ground. But as I said, Mark, we'll touch on, you know, we'll have a good look at Derby in the week, and we'll be previewing it this time next week.
Yes, hopefully we'll know a little bit more about the runners and the ground by then. Norse Prize is one that won't go to the race. The ground's gone against him, and he's not going to run in the Derby or the Breeder Jockey Club. He's waiting for better ground.
And Observational's out, is he? I saw this morning.
And the betting might change again should Hydrogen win on Friday. We record this on Friday. The £2.6 million yearling makes his debut on Friday afternoon at Newmarket. 100-1 for the Derby.
I wonder if sort of, you know, as listeners will be listening to this tonight, is he still going to be 100-1, or is he even going to? I think the plan is, if he copes well today, they are going to run him.
They haven't given up hope, even though it's only 8 days away.
Yeah.
Hasn't seen a race course and has two races in 8 days. Imagine if he wins this and then goes on to win the Derby. It'd be quite a story.
That would be sensational, actually. I mean, look, he'll be watching that race tonight. If he's pretty devastating as well, he's going to have to enter calculations, isn't he? But it is some move. It really is. And in a way, I hope he does. I hope he absolutely scoots in tonight, and I hope he does run the Derby, because it just adds another angle to it. And that sort of thing is great for racing.
It is. It should be a very exciting evening if that would happen, or an exciting week to see how the reaction is to Hydrogen. Anyway, we can't talk about that until it actually happens. So what we'll do is we'll move on to Saturday's racing. We're going to get Catherine's thoughts in a few of the races at Haydock, a good card there. We've also got a good card at York, and plenty of good racing actually to look forward to this Saturday. So we'll get Catherine's thoughts in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, we're going to focus on Haydock. The first race that Catherine has picked out is the 205, which is the Pinnacle Stakes, a fillies group 3 over a mile and 3 furlongs. In fact, it's nearly a mile and a half. It's the extended mile and 3 furlongs. And we haven't got betting on site yet, but I imagine that Astonishing is going to be somewhere near the top of the betting. What do you make of this race, Catherine?
Yeah, just had a quick look on odds checker, and the way that, you know, no odds are up yet, but the way that they're lining up looks as though Astonishing will be favourite. You'd expect her to come on, really. She was fourth behind Cuban Eater and Noble Mission, which we'll talk about in a minute. Listed winner. I think the ground's fine for her, the trip's fine, so wouldn't be putting anyone off there. I think talk a little bit more about Cuban Eater. I mean, she obviously accounted for Noble Mission on level weights at Newbury. I think she ran in the Yorkshire Cup last time out, and I think the 1.6 of that was just a little bit trip too far. Although obviously her victory over Noble Mission does now read very well, but I think you have to mention that it was before they changed the tactics on Noble Mission, and that does seem to have sort of, the penny's really dropped and they found the key to him. I like her. I mean, she's versatile on ground. She's got victories on good, soft and heavy. Trip's going to be absolutely no problem at all to her. And the stable do continue in good form. It's interesting that John Gosden, obviously he runs two, he runs Freedom's Light and he runs Sultanina. I think it's interesting that he does run Sultanina. She was very green on her debut before the penny dropped and she won. And obviously he's left in Freedom's Light with Frankie taking them out. I mean, she's quite a lightly raced 4-year-old. I think the ground is a slightly unknown factor. She was third at Goodwood on good soft ground, an OR of 90. You know that she's going to be better than that. But the one that's actually taking my sort of the most is David Sincott's horse, Moment and Time, last year's winner. She has got a little bit to find at the weights, obviously, with an OR of 104. reason why, there's plenty of stamina in the pedigree. Dam's actually a half sister to Opinion Poll, and a full sister to Capitano Corelli. There's plenty of stamina there. Again, she's versatile on the ground, course and distance winner, obviously with the victory last year. And she had a couple of unfortunate experiences racing in Maidan over longer trips. Over the 1 mile six trip, she was sort of blocked on the rail and completely lost all her momentum and came seventh. And when she ran over 2 miles, she just didn't settle at all and was perhaps just delivered a little bit of a tad late. She is a bit of a globetrotter. She was third over an inadequate 1 mile two Woodbine in the grade one contest, the E.P. Taylor. Looking sort of at her form figures at first, you'd think they're not that inspiring. But when you actually delve deeper and look at what she's been doing, I think that she could go in again here and repeat last year's victory.
Okay, so we're going for last year's winner, Moment in Time, to win the Pinnacle Stakes for a second year in succession. On to the 240 next, and this is the John of Gaunt Stakes, Group 3 over 7 furlongs. And while we're on the subject of last year's winners, Amarillo returns to defend his crown this year. Peter Shiergan's German Raider won this last year, and they've booked Richard Hughes for this year's renewal. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to face pretty different ground than when he won this last year. I think it was described as good to firm. Obviously, he has to give £3 to the rest of the field. He has won on soft, though, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. Group 3 contest at Munich last time out. I think you also have to look at Breton Rock and Custom Cut. Obviously, I think we previewed the Spring Trophy. Breton Rock, obviously, I've just been talking about a David Simcoe horse. I'm just going to talk about another one, Breton Rock. So I've only went up £2 for his victory there. He's pretty, he's very consistent animal. He faces similar conditions here. And Custom Cut reopposes again, was only a half length off him in the Spring Trophy, and he sort of reopposes here on the same mark. I think this is quite a trappy little contest, really. Mark, he can, I know we say it quite a lot, but I can literally sit here and I did almost make a case for every single one of them. There's Old Eaton Forever in there, made a winning reappearance at Leicester where he actually beat Breton Rock. He's versatile on the ground. He's got a nice draw as well in draw nine. Obviously, the high draw coming into play. Here comes when I thought he was pretty impressive at Chester. I mean, it was his second win there. Maybe he likes the idiosyncrasies of the Rudy. He's back to seven here. Horse that interests me the most is Towers, to be honest. Loves the ground, likes Haydock, and cheek pieces just seem to be the key to him when he won at a listed contest at Newbury in September. And I was talking about Sandown last night. The stable continue in very good form, and this kind of renaissance of Kieran Fallon as well. So fully respect last year's winner, but I just think, I think Towered, now the pen is dropped, and his first reappearance, that doesn't bother me. Peace is on again, gets £3 from Amarillo, and he'd be the one for me.
Okay, Towered then in the 240, and on to the 315 next, which is the Achilles Stakes, a listed race over 5 furlongs. Some high-class sprinters in action here, and 10 of them in the lineup. Which ones are on the shortlist here, Catherine?
The one that's heading the top of the shortlist is Noble Storm, the one at Thirst last time out. And he won this in 2011 off a mark of 110. He was third in 2012 off a mark of 107. He's in here on a mark of 105. He has won on soft ground. Obviously, the likes of York Glory, Royal Ascot winner in 2013, second to Marek in soft ground, Group 3 at Newbury back in the last season. I just think that he prefers better ground. And yeah, I know the Haydock apparently were dry overnight, and they're saying sort of soft, good to soft in places, but they are predicted more rain today. So again, like the last couple of times we have previewed Haydock, I've just got in my mind that they are going to get more rain, and the fact that it's not going to take much to turn it back to soft. Eaton Rifles, obviously, he loves the ground. He's been running in soft ground in Fontainebleau. I think I see a very apt winner of this would be the Balding Tilly Swan Song, which apt as she's a daughter of Lock Song, who obviously sadly passed away this week. She's related to a couple of listed winners. And there's several, I think all three of the fillies and mares are actually quite interesting. De Conde, when you first look at her, she sort of, you think, oh, she's going to be pretty much outclassed. You know, she's an awful lot to find off a mark of 86, but she is very, very quick in soft conditions. Certainly when she, I think she won at the back end of last season at Nottingham and heavy ground, and the way she came through it was just unbelievable. Again, a bit to find, but if conditions really turn sloppy, you would sort of give half an eye to her, really. And Graphic Quest, fourth over... I think she was fourth over six to Joyous last week, again in very, very similar conditions. And Swang Zong, I think, you know, she won't find the ground a problem, but I think adding everything up and the fact that Noble Storm has got conditions in his favour, he's versatile with the ground anyway, the fact that we know that he likes Haydock, previous winner of this contest, and the fact that he's drawn eight, then, you know, a sort of almost process of elimination, he's got to be number one on the list.
Noble Storm then to recapture the Achilles Stakes after 3 years or so. Let's have a quick summary of all your selections, Catherine, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yes, certainly. In the 2 of 5, the Pinnacle Stakes, I'll be with Moments in Time. In the 2:40, the Time Form Jury Stakes, but obviously registered as the John O'Gaunt Stakes, it is the Godolphin-trained Towid. And in the Achilles Stakes, be hoping that Noble Storm can roll the clock back a bit and regain his crown.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine. Good luck with your selections and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Sean Quinn, James Millman and Richie McGrath in the studio. There's this meeting from Haydock. We also have a good card at York. There's racing from headquarters at Newmarket. We're on the Rudy at Chester. That's the afternoon lineup. And in the evening, we have racing from Newbury and jumps action from Stratford. So a good Saturday to look forward to. Plenty of racing in store. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.